Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So it's a good moment for us to welcome the pastor to come and share the word of God. So let's put our hands together as we welcome the pastor.
Just before the mothers, some of the mothers go to the Sunday school, I'd like to ask all the mothers to stand on your feet. You're a mother, stand on your feet. I'd like to ask you to do another step of faith. I'd like you to come over here. Would like to recognize you for the beautiful, beautiful work that you do. And if there are mothers or that have gone out to the Sunday school, please can you ask them to come? Praise the Lord. Let us appreciate them. Now, without mothers, and I just want to reemphasize what our brother Julia said, without mothers, none of us would be here. And for those of you, and I know it's all of us who have had an opportunity to be in the presence of a mother, or maybe your wife might be a mother for those of us who are husbands, it's a lot of work that goes on behind just being called a mother. A mother takes care of a child, you know, from the time that child is conceived. They begin taking care of that child in their womb, and they carry that baby for 9 months. And that is something that we cannot even put words exactly what happens. But we are able to experience, you know, for those of us who are fathers, the difficult situations that they go through. And the nurturing heart and spirit that they have in bringing up bringing up children. So I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of all of us to say thank you, thank you, thank you from the deepest of our hearts for what you have done, for bringing up our children and for rearing them and bringing them up in the ways of God. And just as a just token of appreciation, we have something that we prepared for you, and I would like to ask our brother Wanganga, I don't know where he is right now, to come with that small tokens. And I'm going to ask the fathers who are there, Pastor Francis, Pastor Julius, and all of us. I know some other men are involved in other things. Please, I would like you to come over here, and we are going to hand over these little tokens that we have to these beautiful women that God has put even in our lives to bring up the beautiful children and to carry the greatest or noble responsibility that they have taken even to be mothers. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask Brother Wanganga, please, can we have those gifts come, being brought over here? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Steve, come here. And Alex, all the fathers, please come here. If you're a father, come here. Come here, my brother. Yes, come over here. And I'd like you to carry that gift, and when the gift comes, and appreciate them in a very, very special way. Amen, amen. All the fathers, please come here. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Sam, can you help with the gifts in there? Wanganga is bringing them. Can you bring those little tokens? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to. One more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to. Me, Mungu yu mwema, Mungu yu mwema, Mungu yu mwema, yu mwema. So hand over those gifts to the men that are in front here so that they can give them to, just don't give it to your wife, give it to another mother. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want you to know it is a small token, but we appreciate you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for the wonderful job that you do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So after you get your gift, you can go back and know that we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Oh. Please, mothers, come back here. See how men do it? Men, come over here back again. You see, we are corrected. Men, can you lift up your hands towards our wives and these beautiful women as we pray for them? We apologize. Okay, lift up your hands towards them as we pray for them. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we lift up your name. We thank you, Father, for these beautiful women that you've placed on this earth, oh God, even to extend your purposes. I thank you, Lord, even for their lives. I thank you, Lord, even for the strength that you've placed in their hearts, oh God. I thank you, Father, even for the difficult jobs and assignments that you've given them to rear and to bring up children in the ways of God. I pray in times when they feel like they want to give up, in times when they feel like it's too much, oh God, Father, you shall come so diligently and relieve them of the burden and make the work of bringing up children and being a mother and a wife as a joy, oh Lord. Use them as instruments of honor, O God, in their capacity as mothers, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that, Father God, we shall get around them and be a blessing to them and help them, O Lord, in the responsibility that you placed into their hearts, Lord, as mothers. I just want to thank you for each one of them, O God. Endure them, Lord, with the strength. Endure them, Lord, with the energy to carry on the responsibility that you placed upon each one of them. And Father God, should there be any one of them who looks down upon themselves as a mother who is not even capable, I pray that you shall strengthen them. I pray that you shall give them the confidence, oh God, even to face the difficult challenges that you have placed upon them in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Father God, you shall show them the way. You shall entreat them, oh God, with your goodness and mercy all the days of their lives. Father, we bless them because they are good and they are beautiful even before our sight. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay, now Sunday school, you can go to your classes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Praise the Lord. What an opportunity that the Lord has given us to enjoy the presence of mothers, even in our midst. The responsibility that God has placed on a mother is immense, and sometimes it is an understatement for us to say that we understand what goes on, particularly in their hearts as they carry the burdens of their children, as they carry the burdens of their home. We completely want to thank God for each one of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning I have a text that the Lord downloaded into my spirit, and I believe we don't have actually enough time, so I may just have to introduce it, and then we are going to wind up next Sunday. And I believe that you're going to be blessed. Praise the Lord. I want you to high five the person seated next to you. Look them sharply in their eyes and tell them you look beautiful. Come on, please do me a favor. Turn to somebody, even to the left, to the right. Look at them intently at their eyes and tell them you look beautiful. Of course, if they're a man, tell them you look handsome. Yes, come on, tell them. Tell them they look handsome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I would really ask you kindly to give me your attention. I know there are a few things going on here and there, and please, if you can just give me your attention for the next few minutes so that we can sit on the table and hear what the Lord is speaking to us today. Amen. Today is going to be a blessed day, and I believe that the Lord is not going to disappoint you. He has something special for you. Amen. Turn your Bibles into the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, verse number 18. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, verse number 18. Okay, we're going to read there, and then if your finger can turn into the book of 2 Corinthians, just the next book, chapter number 12, verse number 9. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 1, 18, and I'll jump into a few verses there, and then we are going to read 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 9. If you're there, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Verse number 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Verse number 22. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews who demand for signs, and is foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who God has called, both Jews and the Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. I will jump all the way to verse number 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you are when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Verse number 31. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses number 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Praise the Lord. Just lift up your right hand as we pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for this text that you have brought to us, O God. I just want to thank you, Father, for the things that you laid in my spirit to come and share with us. We are hungry. We want to be fed, Lord. We are thirsty. We want our quench to be met and satisfied. Lord, we are waiting on the table that you may come and communicate into our spirits the things that you would want us to hear. I pray that our hearts be open, Father God, even to reach out and receive the counsel from your heart this morning. Lord, as the communicator of this message, I descend and I humble myself before you, O God. Use me as an instrument, Father, to communicate your rich word, Father, to our hearts today. I thank you, Heavenly Father. We want to be realigned. We want to be corrected. We want to be encouraged this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, take over this meeting. We appreciate you and we honor you so highly and greatly. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Amen. I know most of us have read this text, and sometimes you read the Bible one way and you get an interpretation through His Spirit at certain times when you read the Scripture. And sometimes you read, at other times you may read the same Scripture, and the Lord unveils a different revelation in His Word. And I believe why this happens every time we set our eyes to study the Scriptures is because this book here is not just a book that has been compiled together by men of wisdom, but just because this book is alive. And if we recognize the fact that this book is alive, it carries the meaning of life. It carries solutions for our everyday walk on this earth. And so the perspective when I study the Scripture is to trust the Lord to bring to the service the truth that is locked within this Word. Amen. And every time you study the Scripture, have an open mind that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, might get into the heart of God and scoop out or upload some substance or some solutions that you need for your life at the very time that you need it. Praise be to God. And when I read this Scripture, it came to me in a different way that the Lord, I believe, that is going to help us to understand. And it took me up to the days of Genesis when God created the earth, and He created the elements and the firmaments and everything that He spoke His Word, and the earth became. And He comes to a place in Genesis, I believe chapter number 2, when He says, let us now. God consults His own counsel. God consults the counsel of the Holy Spirit. God consults the counsel of Jesus, His only begotten Son. And He says, I think it will be in vain if we just put all these things together. And when we put these things, they are beautiful before us, and they look good. But He says, let us now create man in our own image and in our own likeness. Praise be to God. The fact of the matter, when I read that Scripture, it gives me an encouragement that I'm not just a creation. I cannot just be compared to an animal. I cannot just be compared to the things that God spoke during the initial stage when He spoke things into existence. I'm peculiar. I look like God. Because He said, let us now create man in our own image and in our own likeness. And many times when I didn't know the Lord and I would read that scripture, the thing I would see is that I would see the Father God in His form, and I would see Jesus maybe in His form, and I would see the Holy Spirit in His form, and I would see them coming together and consulting their counsel, and they would say, let us now create men in our own image and likeness. The reason why people may never understand who you are or may never understand why you do things sometimes how you do them is because you're peculiar and you're unique. You've been created in a unique way. No single person looks like the other. Praise be to God. And in you, the innate, the core of you resembles the Creator. Praise be to God. God doesn't have a body. The Holy Spirit does not reside in a confinement of a human body like we know ourselves to be. It is only one time when Jesus was in, when Jesus, you know, as a Son of God, came from the heavenlies, he deserted the holy environment, and He came and He was confined in a body for a time. Praise the Lord. Other than that particular occasion, there is no one time or anywhere recorded in the Bible that God resides in a human form. But God created us. He when he thought about us, he says, let us now create man in the image and in the likeness of God. And he created a confinement. He created a shell that forms your body. Praise the Lord. And he puts his spirit in the man. He puts his spirit, he puts up this thing that he creates and that looks like him, whose image and likeness looks like him, and puts it in a confinement called a body. Praise the Lord. And when he created us, he gives us dominion over everything that he created. He gives us authority to rule over the things that he created. And he put us in a piece of garden called Eden. And he says that I've given you the authority to eat all the fruits of this garden. I've given you the ability to till it and to take care of it. And I've given you some sets of instruction. You shall eat all the fruit of this garden thereof, except for the fruit by the tree in the middle. And something happens as God is, you know, leaves them there enjoying the skylight, and they're enjoying the beauty of the garden. And somehow we read in the scriptures that the devil comes in as a serpent, and he begins and he decides to offer a certain instructions to the man that God created. And man deserts what God had instructed him. He deserts the voice that was still within him, and he listens to the voice of the enemy. And you know what happened as a consequence of the man listening to the voice of the enemy, where God had told him, instructed man so concisely, you shall not eat the fruits of the tree in the middle, because when you do that, you shall surely die. And the serpent comes in a disguised way, and he begins to tell man about how God is a liar. And let me tell you, that was the beginning of problems just curling and then just coming into on earth, when we dissected or when we deserted the counsel of God and we listened to other people. In other words, we trusted on our own understanding. We leaned on our own capabilities to think that the instructions that we received from God was unworthy, and we embraced some instructions from the serpent. Praise be to God. Stay with me, and I'm going somewhere. The fact of the matter is, whether you know it, whether you don't know it, you are peculiar. Somebody say, I'm peculiar. You are not supposed to be understood. You've been created not to be understood by people. That's why when a husband and a wife come together, there could be conflict, because, you know, they're individual people, and they deserve their own rights. They've been created in a unique way originally from God, and God puts their spirit there. Then they have the right and an independence of reasoning and thinking the way God placed them on that body. And so, as man continued, and he embraced the counsel of the enemy, you know what happens? He fell. And the Bible says that through sin, death came into the whole earth. And the Lord segregated man and separated man from his presence. He told him, okay, I'm not going to allow you to dwell on this land, on this garden that I placed for you anymore, because of disobeying me. It looks like you're ready now. You already got what I didn't intend for you to have. You can reason and you can do things your own way, and you have this capability that to think that you can achieve so many things, and you think now you have an affinity to think highly of yourself, and I don't want to deal with that, because if I deal with that, it's gonna make me uncomfortable. So I will put a hedge so that you cannot no longer dwell on this garden. And God chases man out of the garden, and he stipulates a few things that man would endure as long as he would be on this earth. And kind of like a fellowship between us and God has been disconnected. And eventually God, because he so loved us with his love, He's still beckoning on us to come back to him. Even though we had been separated from his fellowship, he sends him, his own self. He sends his son, Jesus Christ, to come and redeem us. To come and pick us up from where we were thrown. Praise be to God. And we find Jesus coming here on earth with a message of reconciliation. We find Jesus coming on earth with a message to reconcile man back to himself. And as we read in the scriptures, God already recognizes the state of man. That the man has this affinity of feeling high of himself because of disobeying God from the original, from the time of the garden, man had an affinity to feel, oh, I have this dominion. I can do everything by myself. And God, you know what? God decides, you know, I'm going to use a way to reach out to this man in a way that he may not really understand. Because man doesn't no longer recognizes me as higher above every other thing. And God decides to mute a plan. He says, I'm going to use the foolishness of what man considers as foolishness to introduce myself back to themselves. In other words, the way I can conquer their high-mindedness is to come in a way that they think that I'm foolish. And that's why he says that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now, the Bible just told us something here, that what we consider as our wisdom is the weakest of God. What we consider ourselves as the strength, you know, when what we consider ourselves as great, as a great affinity to achieve, that is the most insignificant thing that God can ever achieve. Praise the Lord. And he says, what am I going to do? Holy Spirit, Jesus, what are we going to do? Oh, you know what? I want to send my son. I've sent out the prophets and I've sent all these people. It didn't make any sense to them. I sent out the prophets to reconcile them back to myself. Those plans have failed. I sent out the prophets. They killed my prophets. What am I going to do? I'm going to send my son down into earth and I'm going to offer him as an ultimate sacrifice to see possibly if I can reconcile the man to myself. And he sends Jesus in form of a son called Emmanuel. And Jesus, when he has come, he is introduced to a couple who did not have any significance. He is introduced into a lady who did not even have a sense of abode. In fact, you all know how Jesus was born in a manger. The foolish things of this earth, things that don't make any sense. And he is born in a manger and he grows up until when he's 33. That's when he starts his ministry. A son of a carpenter. Church, listen. The high-mindedness that we all have, which is inherent from Adam and Eve, who are our great-great-great-grandparents, can only be eliminated by recognizing the highness and the sovereignty and the greatness of our God through the foolish things that he has chosen to use to introduce himself back to us. Praise be to God. He has chosen the foolish things of this earth to use the foolish things of this earth so that he can shame the wise. God never created a junkie. Praise the Lord. There's this tendency, especially in this country, and now it's creeping into most of the countries of the world, whereby human beings adore celebrities, right? Have you ever opened CNN or opened any other social media? Any one of you who does that, you know, they call the Kardashian sisters.
The Kardashian, oh, Kardashian now he's looking like this. Kardashian sister looks like this. The Kardashian is dating this man. The Kardashian Kobe Bryant is dating this other. We are actually, the world is so much conversant to the celebrities than they ought to be conversant with God. You can even know how the wife of Prince William is now doing things and how she's braiding her hair more than you even know what is happening in your kitchen. We have this tendency to adore celebrities. While in the reality of the matter, every single one of us has locked within some entities that we should, you know what God has deposited into your life. And that the moment it can explode, it can usher you into destiny. Praise be to God. We have this tendency that when we look ourselves at the mirror, you begin to criticize yourself. How many of you are like that? Maybe when you're teenagers, we used to do that. Now we are older. We don't care when we go to the mirror. You brush your hair and you don't even care whether your tooth is, you know, was cracked or something, or you didn't have a nose that was asymmetrical. But some of you know that when you are young, you'd look at your mirror and spend. I have someone in my house who does that. He locks the bedroom when they get in there, and I can figure out what they're doing. One time I found them, and they're looking at themselves. They can smile to see, you know, how the look comes out greatly. You know, how many of you are like that? Especially the people who spend so much time on the mirror trying to criticize themselves. So I wish my nose didn't look like that. I wish my eye would really be at a fifth of an angle at where it is looking. I wish my teeth would all be lined up like the wife of Prince William. I wish my legs would go just in a way whereby when I walk, everybody will recognize who I am. The fact of the matter is, God never created a junkie. Have you ever seen some portraits, some art, some pictures that have been drawn by people, and you hear that those pictures are worthy $3 million, and you wonder, what is in that picture? Have you ever seen that? Something, somebody just came with a paint and zigzagged everything, and they say because the person who this is the picture of, or a portrait that was drawn by a certain person, they attach a value $3 million, and you wonder, $3 million? And you wonder, you can't even buy that yourself. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter whether your tooth are protruding on the left or the right. That is art to God. Amen? Whether you are black, whether you are light skinned, whether your eyes are looking the other direction, that is artistry. Somebody say artistry. Let me tell you, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. God's standards of beauty do not correspond to our standards of beauty. We have fallen because we have diminished ourselves to the standards of human beings. That, you know what, your teacher, your math teacher told you that you are ugly, you are fit, you are good for nothing, and they even called you, resembled you with the name of an animal. And you have grown with this mentality that, oh, I don't even matter. I don't even have this. I don't even have the pedigree that, you know, I'm not even as smart as I don't think I can put everything together. The fact remains that God never created a junkie. And you may not fit in the mold. You may not fit in the description of what men and women would brand you. Are you listening to me? The fact that you may dismiss yourself by your looks. The fact that you may dismiss yourself by your lack of integrity. The fact that you may dismiss yourself by your lack of intellect. The fact that you may dismiss yourself according to the standards of other people doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have within you what it takes to flourish. Praise be to God. Locked within every human being, there is substance and there is a gift and there is a talent that when given an opportunity, glory be to Jesus, when given an opportunity, you can surprise the entire world. You can surprise the entire community that you live in. Are you listening to me? In one of the times I was able to, and I know most of you watched, I think it was I don't know whether it was this program that they bring on the TV, Idols. you know, what do you call them? American Idol. And there was this British woman who came there. I don't know, some of you can remember. This woman came there, and you know, the moment she showed up, people even wondered, now this one. Because you know what? With their own mind, she didn't have the Coca-Cola lipstick. She was not even trim. She was not even skinny the way you would expect. Actually, I remember her dress actually, I think, was long on one side, and she didn't even like, didn't have, I mean, and you know what? The judges, you could look at them and they say, oh my God, what a disgustment. What is this now? This woman has just decided to destroy our entire show. And actually, I also thought that, oh, what good is going to come out of this woman? Because the way she came, she was coming like this, you know. And you know how they walk when they go as idols, you know. And they're ready, and you know, when you look at the way they walk, the way their style, their hair, the way even their dental formula is structured, you are able to just summarize and say, oh, something good is going to come out of this person. But when this lady opened up her dental formula, when she opened her mouth, my God, when she opened her mouth to start to sing, the jaws of the judges just dropped. Because it was such a golden voice that came, and everybody rose on their feet and they were applauding on her, and they were wondering, oh God, what a mistake can people make upon just because of what you are? This lady sang, and until, let me tell you, she was an instant celebrity. Actually, I think even the way she was dressed, it actually became a model dress, and she would even go to people would now put on that, even walk like this. That is a new style now because of her voice. Just the other day, did you see that guy who rescued? Did you see the guy who rescued the four women? Is it four or three women who are abducted on, I think they were just hijacked and placed for 10 years. This guy, did you see him? He was an instant celebrity. Have you really looked at that guy intently? By your standards, his dental formula is not even there. And the hair is like, one side is on like this. And he became an instant celebrity. Why? Because let me tell you, in every one of us, every single one of us, do not belittle yourself, God. Do not look down on yourself. I wish you can understand what I'm saying to you. Do not belittle yourself. Your mother may have put you down. Your father may have spoken things against you. Your teacher in high school or in primary school may have spoken things that dismissed you, and you've carried all these things along, thinking that you cannot make it, thinking that you're worthy, and you're crying out, oh God, Lord, I don't even have it together. Lord, I don't even have the intellect. Lord, my highest mark in school was 40%. And you've concentrated on those things while the Lord says that he created you in his own image and his own likeness. No one is ugly. No one is whatever you think you are. The Bible says that the race does not belong to the swift. The Bible says that the good things only don't belong to the wise. But the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that opportunity has been availed to every single one of us. In other words, if you recognize your position as a human being who have been created in the image and likeness of God, you qualify. And you can become an instant celebrity whether people like it or not. Glory be to Jesus. I've seen men and women who came out of nowhere from the back seats, and instantly when God just began, was just used a single quality of their life and propelled them into destiny. Are you listening to me? There is a tendency whereby the devil wants to put us down because of the things that we have. And let me tell you, church, for your information,
Don't you think it's so bashful just because you're beautiful or you have it all together for you to be nasty to other people just because you think it is by your strength that you have made it? You know, there are people who will never talk to you because they believe they are so beautiful and you are not even worthy a word from their mouth. Do you know that? And they have classified themselves with a certain group of people and they have dethroned other people just because they don't belong. Oh, I don't walk with dark-skinned people. I only walk with styled people who have the well-manicured hair and well-manicured nails or anything. I cannot talk to foolish with people, simple people who have simple ideology. I cannot even confide. Come on, give me a break. You see into it. Let me tell you, the things that you have, the things that I have, the qualities I have as a human being are unique and dished out by God just for myself. If God has given you good children, be thankful unto God because He placed those genes in your life. He's the one who directs the affairs of your children. Glory be to Jesus. I've seen parents just be boastful and bashful just because their children are making up and mine are not. Come on now, you need to bow down and give God the glory for those children. And God has given you a position to kneel down and intercede for those children, for they also are sons of Abraham. Are you listening to me? Do not look at your child just because they don't perform well in school and just dismiss them at their face level because you know a certain child of yours, of a sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, and you're comparing them and you're dismissing your child just because you think that they don't amount to who they are. It is God who allows everything. God, nothing happens here on earth without God's permission. Are you listening to me? Nothing under the sun goes through without God's allowing it to happen. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. God put together the body. He put together the what? Your body. Now I'll read you an article and you will. That I was written by a certain doctor. Leonard, I forget the second name. But you... If your body, look, some of us who look at ourselves and dethrone others just because of the way our bodies look, or because of the way we are formed, or because of the way we are so sharp to articulating certain things, listen to me. I've got some news to you. It is not by your own power. It is not by your own ability. It is not by your position where you are right now. God may have put you in Maryland or Oklahoma or Texas. It is God's design and plan to put you where you are. And you ought to give God the glory at any given moment because of the qualities and the things that you have. Are you listening to me? If we would separate the constitution of your human structure, man is made, you know, this church is made out of nurses. People who are nurses, I think doctors and nurses. So I may not really understand the whole chemistry or biology about a human being. But what I know is that your chemical structure is just your bones, you know. You know, the thing that you call your body, the thing that you drag every time to the supermarket, you know. It's just made of simple elements. Carbon, what else? Calcium, yeah. Yeah, water. By the way, did you know that two-thirds of your body is just water, H2O? That you would, if you separate yourself, we will put a big gallon of water here. And we'll call you 2% of purity is this one here. Water. Now, if you'd put a price tag to those elements, it is not more than $8. Somebody say, ah. True. It will put the elements, the calcium, pull up the calcium, put out the carbon and put them in a glass, put on the water, which is two-thirds of yourself, and we put them on the market. It is not more than $8. $8, that's what I say, not 80, $8. But some value exponentially adds itself because when a single cell, sperm cell, that is so small and insignificant that you cannot see with your naked eye, conjoined together with another cell that was so insignificant, through the process of them coming together, and when God incorporated his power into those two cells, they began a process called, and cells begin to develop. And so his science, after a child is born from a little kiddo, until he is a complete human being who is about maybe 155 pounds, he has a gazillions of cells, and he has some organs that cannot be duplicated anywhere in the world, because the power of God is in the creation of those organs. And so when they consider the organs that you have in your body, the value of the elements that you are contained of ceases from becoming $8 to about $8 million. In other words, the price tags of all your organs, if they would bring all the price tag of it, they say, scientifically, that those organs and everything that is, if they were to sell those organs, your liver, the spleen, your legs, your tooth, the brain, we don't want to sell them. Oh, well, the brain. It will all comprise to about $8 million. Now, the price tag exponentially increases. And just before I go there, let me read this article before I forget. Now, the body. Okay. This is what this doctor says. From the usual viewpoint, the body is a fleshly, bony thing that we awaken to each morning. We wash it and brush its teeth. We walk, drag, or drive it around through the day to the various places we need to go. We hopefully give it adequate exercise. For some of us who do not do so, we give it adequate exercise. We shovel, hopefully, healthy food and liquids into it. We let it relieve itself of accumulated waste. I don't know anybody who doesn't do that. We might allow it its various forms of pleasure, ranging from nature walks to ecstatic dancing to massages and other delights, depending on one's fancies. Finally, we laid it down to rest at night in sleep. For too many doctors, the body is coldly viewed as a merely a biochemical machine, needing to be fixed when it breaks down, usually by pumping drugs into it or invading it with surgery, chemotherapy, radiation. Such interventions often quite helpful, even life-saving. But also far too often, an inappropriate way of dealing with the roots of the problems, From a mercenary point of view, the body is just a skin bag of water comprising two-thirds of the body, plus carbon, calcium, and other materials with an overall cash value of about $8. But now, from a more up-close biological viewpoint, the body is this utterly marvelous living assemblage of exquisite organ systems, whose simultaneous relative smooth functioning is a major miracle. Somebody say a miracle. Consider this. What is the fantastic power that a fertilizer was, I was telling you? The fertilized a pinpoint-sized egg cell in a mama's womb, grew it for 9 months into a fetus, unfolding 10,000 generations of generic memory and differentiating this single little cell into various kinds of cells, such as muscle cells, nerve cells, blood cells, and so forth. What is the thank God that he put this one here. What is the intelligent power that brought this organism from the womb into the world, since which time it has grown from infancy into childhood into its present adult form of about 5 to 6 feet tall, comprised of about 75 trillion cells for the average body? Incidentally, the configuration of these approximately 75 trillion cells is rather unusual. Only about 3.4 trillion cells are tissue cells,
And another 31.5 trillion cells are native, in other words, resident cells, native non-tissue cells, mainly in the form of erythrocyte, red blood cells, approximately about 28.5 trillion cells, plus platelet cells, white blood cells, lymphocytes, macrophages, and other, okay, I don't even want to say go there because I can't even pronounce that term. Beyond all these native cells, listen, our bodies contain an average of about 40 trillion foreign cells, okay? Mostly bacteria in our colon. Touch somebody, tell them, check your colon. You know what a colon is? It is the largest intestines. Come on, you're nurses, you know this. It says this. And 40 trillion foreign cells, mostly bacteria in our colon. As scientists like Robert Krunich have pointed out, there are more bacteria in you than there is in you. Aliens from the outer space might conclude that humans are just one big chain of microbe hotels. In other words, in your body, you have 40 trillion foreign cells. You understand that? So what am I talking about? The Lord chooses the foolish things of this earth, bringing elements that are insignificant of no value. But when he places his power on that valueless, seemingly valueless, formless old body, it gains its significance. Praise be to God. Now the Bible calls this body the temple of what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say like you mean it. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, when God put this us together as a human form, he put all the natural characteristics of who we are, and he called it a body. In other words, the body responds to the natural phenomena that we all do. In other words, you don't need any concept of faith when you're hungry. You need some food. Praise the Lord. When you're hungry, you know where you need to go. You need to go to your fridge or you need to go to the fireplace, fix yourself some food. You don't need any faith. When you're hungry, you do not need any faith. Are you listening to me? In other words, this body contains things that will be attracted to the natural phenomenon that do not require any faith. In other words, where God is, he instigated a divine order whereby he set things in perpetual motion. Praise be to God. We don't need any faith for the earth to rotate around its axis because right from the beginning, when God spoke it, he set it into perpetual motion. However, there are certain things in our constitution. Our body is not just contained. God didn't just create this body to respond to the natural phenomenon or to the natural tendencies that are demanded by itself. In other words, when you need food, you need to know that you need to eat. When you need to do certain things with your body, when your body is unclean, you know you need to go to the shower, right? You don't need faith. Oh, I need faith. Oh, Lord, I pray for a miracle for my body to be clean. Oh, you can pray all the tongues that you know, but your body will still remain to be dirty. You need to take your faculty and think about it. Get into the shower and clean up your body. Are we together? But when God also put us together, he also put the idea of a spirit and a soul. Praise be to God. And there's no value that we can attach when we incorporate the aspect of the soul and the spirit, because that part in us is the part that connects with God so that his purpose can be fulfilled here on earth. Did I lose anybody? In other words, we don't just have bodies
to respond to the natural demands of itself. But in us, we have a constitution that is called a soul and a spirit, so that we can be able to reach out to God. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and we cannot please him with our natural tendencies. In other words, we cannot use our energies, we cannot use our macho-ness, we cannot use our intellect to please God. For the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? In truth and in the spirit. Without faith, we cannot please God. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Faith is there. Can somebody help me? Faith is what? And now faith is? The evidence of things not faith. By this, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Praise the Lord. And also by faith, we know that the world that we see was created from a world that we cannot see. Praise the Lord. So in other words, our origin, or the origin of everything that we see, emanate from God. Hallelujah. And so, that part in us, that is the spirit, God chooses the foolish things of this earth. He despises the wise things of this earth to display his glory. How would it be that God, in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, that had to consult himself and decided, now I'm creating man in my image and in my likeness, and deposits us in a shell called a body. There is that in us that sometimes and many times we fail to understand the magnitude of its potential. For the moment we understand its potential, praise the Lord, we are able to tap into the heavenlies. We are able to touch the heart of God. We are able to kneel down and communicate with him, because in us is incorporated that aspects that when God looks at us, he is able to identify. Oh, glory be to Jesus. There's no way we can come with our own reasoning and understanding. No wonder the Bible tells us, lean not on your own understanding. You know, self-righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. There's no way we can come with our articulate wisdom, and we can come with the way we think that we are, and we can come with the way we think, the immenseful knowledge that we have, and think that we are going to please God. But until we recognize that God is a spirit, and them that will worship him must worship him in truth and in the spirit, we have come to that point whereby we can recognize that there is something deep inside of us that cries out to commune with God, and that thing is hidden within us. Praise be to God. And it seeks and delights to connect itself with the Maker. And until that point whereby we are able to recognize our position and what is in us, we are going to be dismayed when things don't happen. We are going to be dismayed when we are looking at the way God operates with our own human understanding, because we are going to fail. Praise be to God. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. The Bible says about Isaiah, it is written that when King Uzziah died, what happened? Isaiah did what? He saw the Lord. Can we go there? First chapter of Isaiah, chapter number 1. What verse is it? Is it Isaiah chapter number 1? Can you read it for me? Oh, chapter 6, sorry. Yes. This is what the Bible says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up,
and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, what do we learn about what Isaiah writes in this few verses? He says, in the year that King Uzziah died. When I go back to King Uzziah, there was some protracted things about his life that he created a dissent against the Lord. He would offer incense. In other words, his pride was front and foremost in the things that he did. He never regarded God. He offered incense when he was not supposed to. In other words, he was so arrogant, and there was prideful during his reign. And now Isaiah is a prophet during that time. And the Bible says that when this king died, I was able to see the Lord. Now, what does King Isaiah, the life of King Uzziah, represent in our lives? That prideful affinity, that prideful way of thinking that we can serve God by our own ability. When that is still present in us, we might fail to see God. When we think that we can serve God by what we know about who God is, by our own intellect and by our own minds, when that is still alive, we may fail to see the Lord. But the Bible says that when King Uzziah died, in other words, when this protracted self-serving king who thought that he, with his own ability or with his own integrity, he would build a whole empire for himself in the name of God, when he died, then Isaiah was able to see God. Amen? There was a king called King Nebuchadnezzar. He looked at the whole thing where he had built cities and he had built so many things and an empire, and he looked at what he had built, and you know what he said? Is this not the Babylon that I built by my own self and for my own glory? And immediately those words had not even unwinded coming out of his mouth, he was converted into an animal. Because God doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. Are you listening to me? God doesn't want us to bring our intellect to him, because he says our foolishness, or rather his foolishness, or what we consider to be our strength, what we consider to be our strength is the lowest of his weakness. God wants us to humble ourselves unto him, and the moment when we realize that we are just been created to humble ourselves unto him, the moment we learn to realize that whatever we are is not about us. Whatever we have acquired in this life is not about us. Whatever constitution we are is not about us. The moment you recognize that, my sister, my brother, the moment, Josephine, you recognize that what you have acquired in life or your status in life is not by you, when you recognize that it is God who has given you that, oh, the moment we are in that position, and when we look up and call upon the name of the Lord, he will unveil himself. And he will be ready to come down to our level. And he will be able to look down on us, because God will not want to apply or to use prideful things or things that ought to be higher than himself. He would open up the heavenlies, and he would show us his glory, and he would show us the things that are happening in his kingdom. Praise be to God. But that will not happen, church, until we recognize who God is, until we recognize that our achievements and who we are comes to naught compared to our God. Are you listening to me? So when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne. In other words, when I recognize that my personality is the way it is because of him, when I recognize that the money that I have in the bank is him who has given me that money,
when I recognize that I ought to respect and to honor every human being just because God created them in their own image and likeness, when I recognize that what the clique that I belong to is just the Lord who has enabled me to be what I am, then he will be able to see the Lord. And guess what? The first thing he will show us, we will be able to recognize his sovereignty. We will be able to recognize how high he is. We will be able to recognize how great his kingdom is. Praise be to the Lord. And the Bible says, then Isaiah, the Bible says that, and his robe filled the temple. His robe filled the what? The temple. In other words, his garments filled the temple. Now, do you remember this case when the woman with the issue of the blood, what did she do? There were so many people. She recognized that she was unwell. And she pushed past the people. She is just inching to the Lord. And she just decides, if only I can touch the hem of his garments. If only I don't need him to lay hands on me. I just need to touch the hem of his garments. And he pushed and pushed through the people. And finally, he touched the hem of his garment. And what did the Bible say? That immediately he touched the hem of his garment, what happened? She was made whole. She was made whole. Now, what is your body? Your body is the present day temple of God. Amen. And in Isaiah, the Bible says that the garments, the robes fill the whole temple. In other words, the garments were on Jesus' body. But just as those robes, just as the robe filled the temple, so also does his garments fill our temple. In other words, God, through his unique power, he chose just a rare, just constitution of a shell and placed it in yourself. And he put a constitution of a soul and a spirit that will be able to connect with him. And not only has he done so in your body, but he has put some garments in your temple so that he is able to touch every area of your life. So God is able to move into your future and touch it. God is able to run into your past. God is able to touch your present. God is able, he understands your situation, and he is able to bring a healing to your total body because his garments are in your temple. Are you getting me? His robe filled the temple. Okay, after King Uzziah died, after all the pride was gone, after all this thing of self-exaltation and self-righteousness was gone also, Isaiah saw something else. He saw the seraphims that were standing above him. And each one had six wings. With the two, he covered his face. And with the two, he covered his feet. And with the two, he flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth." Now I want you to know that in the presence of a sovereign God, when God gives you an access to perceive his glory, you'll be able to understand that when, as long as you are in his presence, that there will be a divine order in your life of things happening that will not depend upon your own strength or ability. The two wings covered the what? Are you listening to me? The two wings covered the face. In other words, they could not just go where they wanted to go if they depended upon their eyes to see where they ought to go. And the two wings covered their feet. In other words, they didn't have to move with their feet. They did not have to use their own energy in order to articulate their purposes. They covered the feet. And with the other two wings, they were set in motion, glorifying God. In other words, there was a divine order. When God unveils his glory, when God unveils who he is, when we descend and recognize our position in relation to his position, he is able to let us know that, you know what, all you need to do is stand still and relax. There are some battles that God will have to fight for you. Praise be to God. Just because we have humbled ourselves and we have had an opportunity for the heavens to open and we have had the opportunity to see his robe spreading into every area of our lives. Church, listen to me. His grace is sufficient for you. We are not going to fight our enemies by our own might. We are not going to fight our enemies by our own power. The just shall live by faith. But it is by the power of the Spirit that we are going to conquer the giants that the Lord is going to throw into our lives. Praise be to God. Are you with me? It is by the strength of the Lord. The Lord wants us to completely depend upon him in everything that goes on in our lives, in the things that affect us. There are certain things that you have an affinity and ability to do. But there are other things, since you're a spiritual being, that would invoke the power of the Lord to be involved in our lives. Are you listening to me? So in other words, when you knock on that door and you need a divine connection, you're knocking on it. The Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened. We got to come to that core belief system that when I knock this door, because of my position in relation to his position, that door is going to be open. How do you know the things that you're supposed to engage in God? The things that you're not able to do by your own strength, those are things that God is supposed to be involved in your lives. Is it in your education? Is it in your children? Is it in the behavior of your children? Is it whatever it is, any sector, any section of your life that you know that God, this one, I am not able to do by my own strength. God wants us to humble ourselves before him. And when we look up, his glory is going to be revealed. And as we allow his presence to touch every area of our lives, as we allow his presence to literally get into the crevices of our lives, then we are able to recognize his power. Then our joy shall be full, praise the Lord. Then his joy shall be our strength. Then the things that don't make any sense, we shall call them, because the things that we may not see, doesn't mean that they do not exist, but we can call them into existence just out of our position, praise the Lord. Shall we stand on our feet in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, because of who we are in you. Lord, when you came to that Samaritan woman and you held a conversation with her, and when everything didn't even seem to be going anywhere naturally, you spoke some words that affect us today, even today. Those that will worship God must worship him in truth and in the spirit. I pray that you shall cause us to learn and understand how important it is to you that we may serve you and that we may please you, and that doing so, we have to invoke the concept of faith. That we have to allow that spiritual man in us, Father, to rise up above our natural elements, the body, to serve you.
Father, you're reminding me, Father, of people who saw Paul casting out demons. And they thought that they would do it because there's engagement that we would have to, as children of God, would have to engage ourselves. And they ran and they were trying to cast out demons in people's lives. There's some spiritual battle that we would have to engage in the spirit. And when they came to cast out demons in these people, the demons wrought them out and they said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? Father, we cannot do things by our own understanding. We cannot do the things of the Lord by the way we feel that they ought to be done. But we have to consult you. And we thank you, Father, because in us there is a set light that connects with you. And I pray that we shall recognize that set light in us. That when that time calls for us to engage in the spiritual, Father God, we shall turn it on and engage you, Father, and receive instructions of what we are to do to achieve our purpose. I thank you for every woman. I thank you for every man. And that as we serve you, Father, then our service to you will not be burdensome, because we know how to articulate it and how to process it. I thank you because it shall be so for every single one of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, even for the things that might be going through in our lives, things that we are not able to do. I pray that you shall bring clarity so that we may know what we ought to do. Help us to depend upon you. Help us, Father, to rely upon you. Help us, Lord, even to be hopeful and to trust you in the things that we encounter every single day. Be glorified in our lives, Father. We are thankful for what you have done in our lives. And as we celebrate this day, Father, where we celebrate our mothers for what they have done, I pray that you shall continue to give them strength in the name of Jesus. I pray that you shall endow them with power. You shall endow them with an ability even to continue to serve you and even to bring honor to you, to the glory and honor of your name. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord.